Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast, a late podcast. This doing it every week is something that's not fully fixed into my head of which day I'm doing it. I'm supposed to be doing it Tuesdays. And I have a solution for this. It's the 10th of September, Thursday, and it's about 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm outside, sitting on the deck of the wonky workshop. I thought I'd better get this done before I get on and do anything else. I'm just cleaning my glasses, and I will be smoking my pipe, so excuse the pauses. I'm having to charge the, or power up the recorder with the laptop. So I might just see if I can increase the volume. Here's a little dial here, so that you can hear me, even though I'm not right on top of it. So I thought what I ought do, because I'm a bit rubbish now at getting the audio recording up at the appropriate day, and that people have to keep searching for it, is literally to say what I can do is, if you email me and say you would like to have the podcast, let me start that again. Email, what I would offer is that I would email you when the thing is up, and so I would make a list of the email addresses, upload the podcast, and then put them, send out an email to everybody and say the podcast is up. And then that way it saves you having to faff about looking for it. It wouldn't take me too long. I would just create a list, copy the list, put it into BCC on the email, and send it out. Now, it may be that for a while it might go into people's spam, and they would have to look in their spam folder just to see that the email has arrived, until, you know, the whatever email program one uses has worked out that that's something that you actually want, or you tell it you want it, or however. I don't know how these things work. It's all beyond me, really. And so I'm just loading up my pipe. So it's been a while, and this is the funny thing about doing it once a week. I'd love to do this once a day, but at the moment it's just, there's so many other things going on in one's life, and you would think that it would be easy, but it isn't. So what are we going to talk about in today's podcast, I Hear You Cry? And it's funny that, because I watch a lot of, don't laugh, but I watch a lot of pipe smoking videos, and you might think, what the hell are they? There is a movement, small as it is, although I don't know how many there are, but there must be several hundred channels on YouTube devoted to the joy of pipe smoking. And there is even a group or a club, let's say. It's not a club that you join by membership or anything like that. You become part of it by being one of the people who make videos, I suppose, or watch videos of people who are celebrating the joy of pipe smoking. And it's called YouTube Pipe Club, YTPC, as they refer to it. And I suppose, one reason why I thought I should write my pipe book, because there may be people there who enjoy reading when you have a pipe. It's a conduit to thought, and people enjoy reading and pipe smoking at the same time. And some great pipe smokers wrote while smoking their favourite tobacco, being inspired. I'm just lighting my pipe, so excuse the... If I can get the flame... I can't get the flame to... It'll land in the bowl. There we go. So... So I'm just trying to think why I mentioned all that now. I mean, there is all this, and there we go. Get the pipe going. Anyway, I don't know how I got onto that, but this is one of those diversions, isn't it? Just got to get the pipe alight so that you can concentrate. Anyway, so that was one. That was one audience. I think as a would-be writer. I mean, I have written a book. I've written children's books, so I suppose I could call myself an author. They're all self-published, of course. I don't know whether that really makes a difference. Just you publish something, you've written it. I've authored something, so yeah. I guess that's good enough, isn't it? Good enough for me. I've run out of books, by the way. The Biggleswick, now I have depleted the run that I had. I still get some inquiries, but they've all gone. And I'm in this dilemma now because more inquiries have come in. Do I or don't I go for another print run? It's a lot of money tied up in the books that may well end up sitting in boxes unless one really goes to town and promotes it. And again, I suppose it's a niche market of people who are interested in what's going on in the world, or a way of trying to open people's eyes and offer a solution. That's what it is. Because many people may disagree with me. I'll try and get this. What's going on with this chair? Many people disagree with me and do not know what's going on in the world, so. Or just suffering the consequences of everything. And that's really sad. That is sad. No man is born above anybody else. They may be born into richer families and things like that, but they don't get born with more rights than anybody else, although they think they do, it seems. Some people think that they have certain rights, mostly because they have more money than anybody else and would decide that they want to live in a different world and have been therefore controlling this world. And we know that there are loads of theories, let's say, about what is happening and who these people are and why they're doing it. For me, having gone down the rabbit hole and enough, not I don't know everything by any means, but it's enough to go, do you know what? I don't care about any of that, really, in the end. I'm not going to give them the oxygen of publicity in the end. The important thing is to walk away from it. And not consent, and not be part of it. Why would this chair not... That's better. There we go. Looks like it's going to be a nice day today. There's a bit of blue, and there's a cloud. It's quite chilly. Slightly concerned now. We have to be up here quite early, in case there's frost. We're moving things into the polytunnels to be wary of the frost, but... You know, you're coming to the end of one harvest now. The tomatoes are still doing well. The celery is growing like billy-o. The fruiting shrubs that we planted this year haven't really done anything. A few little berries and things, which were tasty. But I think next year will be when they'll come into their own. There's so many things, projects and plans for the land that we've got. I want to put in some heritage apples, you know, good old apples, some nut trees, hazel, sweet chestnut. We've got an area to put tiny little coppice in. I'd like to do that over this winter, get them in. But there are other trees that need to come down if I put that. They can only come down in one direction, which would be the direction where I'm going to put the trees in. So this is it is a bit of a problem. I'm not ready to take these trees down yet, and they'll stay there for another couple of years, I reckon. So if they come down, they'll have to come down as a result of having a cherry picker or something, and that would be very expensive. So I don't know what to do about that. That part of it is a bit of a burden. The other trees, there's two sections of trees. The others are coming down. They're easy enough to get down, and they're, you know, great for building things like the polytunnels and the wonky workshop. So that's all good. We need to sort out the wonky workshop. We've been lighting the little fire in there so that when it does get cold, but we can keep warm. And I still need, there's still holes in the walls. It does seem to have got a little bit more wonky. It's listing a little more. I think it's because it's settling. I don't think it's going to fall down, but it is at a slightly more acute angle than it was when it was first built on the floor. And I think that's because we dug holes and put the uprights in, and I think perhaps it may have something to have done with the drought, the lack of water, where the soil began to shrink and we saw fissures appear. There are, you know, great big cracks in the ground. So it might have something to do with that, actually, that the excessive heat has shrunk the water from the earth. And so what's happened is the uprights in the holes have dried out, the earth has shrunk. So in other words, the holes got slightly lower and the uprights have dropped down. And short of taking the whole thing down, you see, I didn't want to use concrete. So we'll just have to weather that for now. At some point, probably, I'll have to rebuild it. But I may have to build a second one so that we can transfer everything. It's an invaluable space, as you can imagine, to keep things dry, to store things. And also as a place to keep warm. And it may well be that I'll build a second cabin, as it were. Again, just sitting on the ground so it can be lifted off and gone, you know, so it's not impede. I don't want to use concrete, hardcore, any of that stuff. I just don't want to do that. And put a second one up, which is more with a fire in it, which is more a space, because you're going to need what they call, I suppose, a welfare room, you know. So when it's excessively cold, that you can heat up and be warm, you're going to need somewhere to get out of the cold to warm up, somewhere to get out of the rain and in the drought, somewhere to get out of the sun in the heat wave. So that's I think that's something I've got to think about quite seriously. I'd like to extend the pond. It probably won't be this year. But having a reservoir of water, we've seen the heat wave last year, and I think we'll have more of that next year. So that's going to be a problem. And I must get on top of the compost heap and work out how to make more compost. And get worms in it and get it up to temperature and get it doing what it's supposed to do. Because we've got some more beds that we'd like to put in. The first year has been very successful in terms of learning. Not necessarily in terms of growing, although we've had, you know, quite a lot of success. But the second year round, we've learnt. We've changed our thinking on certain things, and of course there's investment to be made. One of which is the soil. I'm sitting on a piece of land that has not been cultivated really for 30 years, and prior to that it was just a meadow in which cows would graze, and so therefore it's full of wildflowers, thistles, brambles and all of that, and the seeds, even though we've cut the surface time and time again, the soil is full of nutrients, but it is also full of seeds of plants that we don't want growing up. And that has been, I suppose, a big lesson. We found that cardboard, whilst it is a good thing for no dig, is full of plastic. Digging over the potatoes, where we'd put cardboard down, we suddenly seen this weird sort of skin or cobwebby, white, mushy plastic that was in cardboard. So that makes it very difficult then to ascertain which cardboard to use and which not to use, seeing as this bloody plastic is in everything. And we want to keep as much of that off the land as possible. And with the food crisis that is on us now, all man-made, not by us, not by ordinary everyday men and women, but it's been manipulated on purpose. There should be no reason to have this. It's just like the weather was manipulated on purpose. You know, people can see through it all. It all adds up. You know, the wars, the price of fuel, everything. Everything is added up to make life intolerable for people. And so because the food crisis is on it, we need to grow for our friends and family. And our neighbours. And it's a responsibility I take very seriously. And I think anybody who's got a bit of land should be doing the same. Growing for their friends and family and neighbours. This isn't going to be commercial. This is not a commercial undertaking that I'm doing. This is a necessity. This is about survival in this, the final throes, where the cabal are in their most lethal, but dying, definitely dying. And we need every ounce of our spirituality to get us through this. And we will. But I take it very very seriously. Anyway, I don't know how long I've waffled on for, 19 minutes. I'm going to leave it at that this time, and I apologise for that. So There's a wasp landed on the table I'm sitting at, outside here. I keep smoking my pipe and hopefully it'll go away. So, email me if you want to be informed of the podcast. Otherwise, it will just pop up randomly, I imagine. But at least that will save you from having to hunt every week and then be disappointed that it's not there. And in fact, not only will I email you, I'll email you the link. So you haven't even got to go to the website. I'll just keep a list on my laptop of the emails, and as I say, I'll just copy them into the blind carbon copy, I think it stands for, is it? The BCC on the email. So, you know, it's private. And then you'll get the link, but, you know, it's up to you. Anyway, it'd be interesting to see how many people do that. It's probably only a half a dozen people that listen to this anyway, and it may be that this is becoming too difficult to do, and perhaps I'll halt for a while whilst I sort things out and get a bit more established in how I want to record all of this. And you guys listening may well be fed up with it anyway. The appeal may have been that it was daily. I don't know. I don't know what the appeal of the Naked Englishman is. It's been very useful to me to think. But now that I'm sort of swinging between home and the land, it's just a tricky time at the moment to get this done in the way that I wanted to do it and how I used to do it. Anyway, enough of this. Take care and bye for now.